The following is a special presentation from the Montana Broadcasters Association, made possible in part by the Greater Montana Foundation. The Greater Montana Foundation, founded by Montana broadcasting pioneer Ed Craney, supports communications on issues, trends, and values of importance to all Montanans. And now, Election 2020, the race for governor. Here's your moderator, Ron Davis.
Welcome to the Montana Broadcasters Association Greater Montana Foundation Debate for Governor. With the extraordinary times we're currently living in, it's tough for Montana voters to get to know the candidates that would like to be the governor of our great state. So the Montana Broadcasters and the Greater Montana Foundation have joined together using new technology. With COVID-19 in place, we have our panelists stretched all over the state along with our candidates. We're bringing them together for you to learn more about these candidates. So let's meet the Republican candidates that would like to be the next governor of Montana. First, Representative Greg Gianforte. Greg and Susan Gianforte founded Right Now Technologies 2 decades ago in their Bozeman home. They grew it into the town's largest commercial employer, creating over 500 high-paying Montana jobs. In 2017, Montanans elected Greg to be their voice in Congress. Mr. Gianforte prevailed in his 2018 bid for re-election to Congress. He and Susan have been married for 32 years. Greg and Susan have 4 kids and 1 grandson. Please welcome Greg Gianforte. State Senator Dr. Al Olszewski is the oldest of 7, born and raised in Great Falls. After graduating from Carroll College and the University of Montana Medical School, Dr. L served his country in the United States Air Force for 13 years, attaining the rank of major. As a small business owner, he has practiced orthopedic surgery in northwestern Montana for over 20 years. For the past 6 years, Olszewski has served in the state legislature. L is married to Nancy for 33 years, and they have 6 children, biological and adoptive. Tim Fox comes from humble beginnings, born in 1957 to parents Rich and Roberta Fox of Hardin, Montana. Tim was the 5th of 5 children and attended Hardin Public High School. Tim attended the University of Montana, where he received a geology degree in 1981, a law degree in 1987, and a master's degree in public administration in 2018. Tim was elected Attorney General in 2012 and re-elected in 2016. He is currently president of the National Association of Attorneys General. Tim raised a family in Montana, and his grandchildren all live here in our state. Please welcome Tim Fox. Candidates, a quick review of the rules for today's debate. Each candidate will have 1 minute for their initial answer. After that, the remaining participants each receive 30 seconds for rebuttal, after which point the original candidate will have another 30 seconds for a final rebuttal. We will finish tonight's debate with a 90-second closing statement from each participant. The order for these responses were determined by a random draw held earlier this week. Mr. Gianforte will have the first question. But before we get to the question, let's meet our panelists for today's debate. From Great Falls, Taylor Tucker is an award-winning anchor, reporter, and producer at KFBB. Before moving from Wisconsin to Montana in 2015, she worked as an intern at the Center for Investigative Journalism, as well as other positions. She covers everyday issues of importance to Montanans from the studios of KFBB. Cindy Kors is assistant news director at NBC Montana, a 5th-generation Montanan. She earlier spent most of her career in Spokane with a variety of positions with KXLY-TV and AM radio, garnering a number of awards. And Mike Dennison, the chief political reporter for the Montana Television Network, based in Helena. Mike has been covering politics full-time in Montana for 28 years with MTN and earlier as a news reporter. Welcome to our panelists. And let's get started with our first question today. And the first question will be asked from Great Falls by Taylor Tucker to Mr. Greg Gianforte.
Hello, Mr. Gianforte. Thank you for participating today. Republican leaders have questioned Governor Bullock's handling of COVID-19. Do you agree with their criticism? And what specifically would you do differently?
Yeah, thank you, Taylor. Let me begin with this. Since the beginning of this campaign, I committed to run a positive race based on a hopeful, optimistic vision for the future of Montana. I've done that. And I've abided by Ronald Reagan's 11th commandment, which says, "Thou shalt not speak ill of a fellow Republican." That makes sense because that's what you want, not petty political sniping. I'm going to abide by that rule tonight because Tim and Al are my friends and my fellow Republicans. Now, I'm not one to second guess a commander at the front lines, but I do know that as we come through this crisis, we are going to get more knowledge about this virus. And I'm hopeful that if there is a reoccurrence, we can focus more on protecting those that are most vulnerable rather than shutting down our economy. That's where my focus has been in Congress, in helping small businesses open back up and get people back to work.
Thank you, Mr. Gianforte. Mr. Olszewski, your response to the question.
Certainly. So as an armchair quarterback on this situation, using the same data, you know, we were expecting that this coronavirus would kill 20,000 Montanans within a two-month period if we didn't do something. So I agree that we needed to step back and shelter in place. But what I would have done differently is I wouldn't have been arbitrary in deciding what's essential and not what is not essential. Again, I would not have pushed back or have limited our constitutional liberties.
Thank you, Al. Mr. Fox, your response.
Well, I would agree that it's difficult when you're not the commander in the front lines to second guess folks, but we will have learned a lot that we need to carry forward to make sure that we are better prepared in the future. Certainly, one of the things I would have liked to have seen would have been more involvement of our top five or other top four land board members, the Attorney General, Secretary of State, OPI, and the Commissioner of Insurance, in some of the decisions were made, because we have very important roles in carrying out all of this going forward.
Thank you, Mr. Fox. Mr. Gianforte, 30-second rebuttal.
Yeah, I just want to add that this has been a trying time for families in Montana. We have almost 100,000 people who have filed for unemployment. Main Street businesses are shut down. Farmers and ranchers can't get a fair price for their beef. Our focus now, and my focus in Congress, has been making sure we build a bridge to get back to a vibrant economy. I also have some good news. We now have over 200 compounds in clinical trials. I'm hopeful that we'll have a vaccine here before the end of the year, and we'll be much better prepared if we have a reoccurrence.
Thank you, Mr. Gianforte. Our next question will come from Missoula and Cindy Kors. She'll ask the question of Al Olszewski.
Thanks, Ron, and thank you, Doctor, for being with us today. I'm a fifth-generation Montanan, and I worry about my children, who would be sixth generation, being able to afford land in this state. Tell me, as governor, how would you balance the skyrocketing property prices with wages that are not skyrocketing?
I guess that the key thing that I would continue to do, as we've done in the legislature, is to work on ways to help our young producing farmers and our ranchers. We've worked on issues to, again, if a farmer or young farmer rancher needs to come back and take over the ranch because of a problem with their parents, we've worked on loan forgiveness for those college loans. We've also worked with our agricultural development centers to help develop associated businesses and to diversify those incomes for our farmers and ranchers, so that as they return, that they can increase their profit margin and their income streams, so that they can afford the prices of these lands. And we do need to look at how our property is taxed compared to the producing farmers versus those that come from out of state that want a trophy ranch.
Thank you, Mr. Olszewski. Mr. Fox, your response to the question.
Sure, it's clear that in Montana, unfortunately, our real property taxes have grown to an unsustainable amount. And I support the Inland Committee and legislature who is looking at tax reform going forward. We have to do a lot of other things to make sure that Montana is business ready. And unfortunately, we haven't done enough of that. We need to have broadband access for things like telehealth, remote learning, and of course, precision agriculture. Many other things we can do to enhance the ability to bring people to Montana and raise our economy.
Thank you. Mr. Gianforte, your response to the question.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Cindy. And honestly, this is exactly why I'm running for governor. I'm the only one in this race that's actually created good paying jobs here in Montana. And this has to extend across all industries, particularly for agriculture. I voted with President Trump to reduce inheritance taxes on farms and ranches so those lands can be passed to the next generation. As governor, I will do a top-to-bottom regulatory review to get remove the barriers for prosperity here and invite our young people to come back and bring jobs with them.
Thank you, Mr. Gianforte. Mr. Olszewski, final comments?
And once again, we're talking about trying to figure a way to balance the cost, the high cost of agricultural land to the low prices that occur from our crops and also from our livestock. You know, one of the jobs that a governor is supposed to do, and I will do it, is to be your best sales and pitchman to make sure that we maximize our markets within our state for made in Montana, buy local type of produce, as well as across states and across this world. That's one thing I can promise you.
Thank you. Next question will come from Mike Dennison in Helena to Mr. Tim Fox.
Hello, Mr. Fox. Thanks for being here today. As you know, we have about 90,000 low-income Montanans covered by Medicaid expansion. Its cost is mostly covered by the federal government, but it is still an expensive program. I'm wondering if you supported that expansion in its latest iteration last year, and as governor, would you want to change or repeal it?
Well, thanks for the question, Mike. What we've learned through this pandemic is that our rural critical access hospitals in particular, but all of our healthcare providers would have had a more challenging situation trying to get through this pandemic had it not been for Medicaid expansion. I've been across the state visiting with hospital professionals and healthcare professionals. I think I've been to over 25 hospitals and clinics, many of the behavioral health centers as well. And every one of them has told us that without Medicaid expansion, they not only wouldn't have entered into this pandemic prepared, they wouldn't have come out of it, many of them. So you can say what you want about the wisdom of having passed it in the last several legislators, but the people of Montana, particularly in rural Montana, that needed health care when it was most important will tell you that they are glad that they had it.
Thank you, Mr. Fox. Mr. Gianforte, your response.
Yeah, so my guiding principles on healthcare are threefold. One, we have to preserve rural access to healthcare. Secondly, we have to bring down the cost of this healthcare. And finally, we've got to protect people with pre-existing conditions. The Medicaid expansion is a safety net for people that need it. I am concerned that we've allowed many people to climb on this net and it may well collapse under the weight. As your next governor, I will bring accountability to verify income and assets before we allow people to sign up for this safety net.
Thank you, Mr. Gianforte. Mr. Olszewski, your response.
As you can hear, you know, as a physician and state legislator, I'm the only candidate here in the Republican Party that believes that we need to replace Medicaid expansion and then repeal it. The truth is, it's a broken system. It's got 50% of the people are ineligible to be in the system, as stated by the last government audit done by our state. And also, as a Republican governor candidate, I'm the only one that follows our platform, which says repeal Medicaid expansion.
Thank you. Mr. Fox, final rebuttal.
Well, listen, I'm a cancer survivor, and I will not play politics with people's health. We need to protect the critical access hospitals in rural Montana. We need to expand telehealth. That's very clear here in the COVID-19 situation. I've gone to court to protect people's right to have coverage for pre-existing conditions. We need to lower the cost of prescription drugs and lower the cost of healthcare by focusing on value-based delivery. Workforce development is important, too, to bring more healthcare providers. I want to bring a medical school on as well.
Thank you, Mr. Fox. Our next question will be from Cindy Kors to Mr. Gianforte.
Thank you. Mr. Gianforte, as you run for governor, tell me, what do you think is more important, private sector or public sector experience?
Well, I think that the number one issue, as I've traveled the state, I've done over 200 events in every corner of the state since I announced, the thing people want is that they want opportunities here, good paying jobs, so we don't have to keep exporting our kids along with our beef and grain. My experience in the private sector, I think, uniquely qualifies me. I'm the only candidate that's created good paying jobs here, and I have a plan that will allow Montanans to prosper. It starts with lowering our tax burden on individuals and businesses, both income taxes and property taxes. Secondly, a top to bottom regulatory review. And I'm thrilled that I'm joined on the ticket with Christian Juris, who has practiced law here in the state for 38 years, helping farmers and ranchers and Main Street businesses eliminate regulations. We've also got to attack this drug epidemic that's ripping our families apart. And finally, protect our way of life. I have a plan that'll help Montanans prosper, and I'm looking
Thank
forward
to it. Thank you, Mr. Gianforte. Mr. Olszewski, 30 seconds.
The answer is both. You know, and that's why I'm the best candidate on the Republican Party to be your next governor. You know, I am a successful small businessman who spent 22 years growing a small orthopedic practice from 12 employees to 95 employees and very high paying jobs. And also, I've got 6 years experience as a state senator and a House of Representatives. So I understand what it takes and what's needed as a small businessman to have a successful business here in Montana. And one of those things is to reduce our regulations.
Thank you, Mr. Olszewski. Mr. Fox.
Well, what's most important is having a governor that can relate to Montanans and that Montanans can relate to them. Certainly, my experience is very broad. I've practiced law now for 33 years, business law, banking law, real estate law. I've done many, many business startups, small businesses, and then I've helped them navigate through the regulatory morass on the federal and the state and the local level. So I have that experience of bringing people together, unifying them to overcome challenges, and that's what we're going to need going forward.
Mr. Gianforte, your final comments?
Sure. In my opening comments, I talked about my private sector experience, but now having served you as your congressman in Washington, as the lone voice in the U.S. House, I'm bringing legislative experience as well. And I'm proud of my record there, getting bipartisan legislation through Congress. In fact, in December, I had a bill that will reduce prescription drug prices pass the House with 400 votes. I'll bring that legislative experience to Helena as your next governor to work with all people that have good ideas to create better outcomes for Montanans.
Thank you, Mr. Gianforte. Our next question will come from Mike Dennison as he asks a question of Mr. Olszewski.
Mr. Olszewski, you're an opponent of the Flathead Tribal Water Rights Compact. So as governor, are you saying you would undo it and start over again, even though most, if not all, of the major ag groups in the state support it?
So as your next governor, yes. What I would do as your next governor, as long as it's not ratified by the federal government or the tribe, it is then considered a failed compact. It's been around for 5 years, and the federal government and the tribe have not signed it. So it's time to go back to the table. Once again, fighting for our constitutional rights, especially our water, it is time for our state to stand up. Yes, we do need a compact to deal with water rights with the CSKT, but it should be no different than the other six compacts that we have with the other tribes. Constitutional rights, such as our water and our property, are worth fighting for, and we should never forfeit them. Again, what we're doing is we're taking the water rights of 350,000 Montanans in Western Montana, and I've seen the pain and despair of these farmers and ranchers and irrigators, their families, their wives, because they know without water, they have no ranch or farm to produce and pass on to the next generation.
Thank you, Mr. Olszewski. Mr. Fox, your comments on this issue.
Well, Al Olszewski is a friend of mine, but he couldn't be more wrong about this particular situation than he is. And we've gone through this before. But you're right. The Montana Stock Growers, the Montana Farmers Union, the Montana Farm Bureau, the Montana Chamber of Commerce, and, of course, many, many others support the Water Compact. And Senator Daines and Congressman Gianforte have finally got the bill before the Congress to hopefully get it ratified. And I hope that happens. There are a couple issues with that bill, but the Gianforte bill, I think, should get passed. And I
Thank
hope
you. He supports it. Thank you, Mr. Fox. Mr. Gianforte, your thoughts?
Yeah, so I don't have a bill, but we do need an agreement. I was opposed to the original compact as it passed the state legislature. It was flawed because it granted off-reservation rights. I've been working with Senator Daines. We need an agreement that satisfies the obligations to the tribe and protects Montana water rights holders. The bill introduced by Senator Daines in the Senate is not perfect, but it avoided litigation, which could have forced 73% of Montana water rights users to relinquish their rights.
Thank you, Mr. Gianforte. Final thoughts on the issue from Senator Olszewski.
Once again, fighting for our constitutional rights, especially for our land and our water and property rights, is worth fighting for, not forfeiting slowly or absolutely. You know, if we're going to give a property right to somebody else, it should be because we've been reimbursed for it, or we forfeited it in the court of law, or you give it as charity. The truth is that 350,000 Western Montanans are on the table, and they need to be put at the table. So let's create a new compact that's fair to everyone, including the ranchers and farmers of Western Montana.
Thank you, Mr. Olszewski. Our next question comes from Great Falls, and Taylor Tucker will ask that question of Mr. Tim Fox.
Thank you, Ron. Mr. Fox, members of your party have often been thwarted in the last 16 years by the Democratic governor, vetoing bills that were passed by the legislature. So what bills that have been vetoed by Governor Bullock would you sign and why?
Well, certainly there's a whole laundry list probably of those bills. I don't have them in front of me, but it will be good to have a Republican governor. Certainly it's important to get through a primary. And what the polls show is that I'm the only Republican that can win in November. Congressman Gianforte's negatives are so high that it just makes it nearly impossible for him to win a general election. But the Born Again Alive bill that Senator Olszewski brought through, that's one that I would have signed. The ban on sanctuary cities, that's another bill that I would have signed. And there are likely others because I'm a conservative. I have conducted myself that way in the office of the Attorney General. I have fought against federal overreach, taken down the waters of the U.S. rule and the so-called Clean Power Plan that really didn't do anything. And I will continue to fight for the pro-life, the life of the unborn, and certainly our Second Amendment rights like I did against the city of Missoula.
Thank you, Mr. Fox. Mr. Gianforte, your response?
Yes, I will want to make a short comment there. You're entitled to your own opinions, but you don't get to make up your own facts. The latest polling we've seen has me with the highest leads in the general election, better shape than any other candidate on the Republican ticket. And talking to state legislators, they have been frustrated because even with Republican-held House and Senate, most of their work has ended up in the trash can. The Born Alive bill is a good example. I am solidly pro-life, the only candidate endorsed by Susan B. Anthony, and I'll continue to fight for life.
Thank you, Mr. Gianforte. Mr. Olszewski, your thoughts?
So as governor, I would like to see every one of my bills that have been vetoed by Governor Bullock brought back up, and I'll sign them. Starting with affordable health care, a refundable tax credit for Montanans who pay for their own health care premiums out of their own pocket that would go up to the level of what we pay for Medicaid expansion for a healthy male with no children. Number two, to lower the cost of prescription drugs, passed in, by the House and Senate and vetoed by the governor. And yes, I would continue with campus free speech and all of my pro-life bills.
Thank you. Mr. Fox, final thoughts on this question.
Sure. Well, we wouldn't be having this conversation if Greg Gianforte would have won in 2016. He was the only statewide Republican to lose and lost miserably there. Well, I carried 68% of the vote, 54 out of 56 counties. Mr. Gianforte's negatives, according to the University of Montana poll earlier this year, are at 63%, I believe, which is the highest of any statewide elected official. So it is important to get the right people out of the primary. I'm the guy that'll do it, and then we'll have a Republican governor.
Thank you. The next question will come from Mike Dennison to Mr. Greg Gianforte.
Mr. Gianforte, you say you're devising a business plan for the state, but you haven't yet revealed it, and your campaign website has very few details about any proposals. But why should voters support you if you won't tell us specifically what you plan to do?
Well, I look forward to getting it out. We've been crowdsourcing these ideas. It's a comprehensive plan that will create more good-paying jobs so we can stop exporting our kids. It starts with a top-to-bottom regulatory review. It also will focus on slowing the growth of state government. We've seen a 60% increase in state spending over the last 10 years, and use any surplus that results to reduce taxes across the board, property taxes, income taxes, business equipment taxes. Now, the rules have changed here with this COVID crisis, and we're facing unprecedented times. We need someone in the governor's office with business experience that has done the work to balance budgets and create opportunities. That's what I'll do. It'll start with value-added ag. Our beef producers are hurting right now because the Montana brand is not preserved through the supply chain. We need increased trades education, get manufacturing going. And we need to expand tourism, manufacturing, and high tech.
Thank you, Mr. Gianforte. Mr. Olszewski, your thoughts on this question.
Sure. Thanks, Greg. I agree that we need a governor that's passed balanced budgets. I've done it three times. I've also a small businessman that understands what burning regulations will do and what it takes to try to keep your employees covered with a good paying job, a salary, and benefits. For me, what I see as a small business owner, number one, we need to fix, freeze, and lower our property taxes. And then we have to make sure that healthcare is affordable, accessible for our employers and their employees.
Next, Mr. Fox, with your response to this question.
Well, you'd expect that there'd be a lot more substance in the Gianforte campaign, considering that he's in the top 5% of members of Congress who've been absent and missed floor votes. But you're right, he has no substance. He's avoiding debates, avoiding public meetings. And John Kanoke and I, we have Montana United, a vision for the future. We've been working over 10 months with hundreds of Montanans. Our plans are up on the website. They're very substantive, detailed. It's a conversation. We want to hear from Montanans what they think.
Mr. Gianforte, your response?
Well, let me just say Mr. Fox's behavior is shameful. It's shameful because he's trying to manipulate and use false statements to manipulate voters. And I'll just leave it at that. I came to Montana 44 years ago. We've made a life here. My wife and I have raised our kids here. We built our business here. And unfortunately, three of my four kids have left the state. And I know so many Montana families are in that situation. I will create a stronger economy to allow our younger people to come back to Montana.
Thank you, Mr. Gianforte. We move on to our next question with Taylor Tucker asking a question of Mr. Olszewski.
Mr. Olszewski, through the coronavirus pandemic, we've seen firsthand how important it is for our governor to have a strong relationship with leaders in D.C., especially when we're talking about states across this country who are scrambling for more testing supplies and PPE. So what would you do to strengthen that relationship?
You know, as your next governor, again, in times when we are not in hardship or crisis, you continue to build on relationships. Same relationships that I've built through through the state legislature, not only in the Republican Party, but also through the Democratic Party, all legislators. Again, as a physician and someone who's a healthcare policy expert, I would continue to build on those relationships that I worked with the Health and Human Services Department up at the federal government. And yes, as a governor, I'd be one of the 50 people that would be a squeaky wheel when it comes time to fighting for our share of the testing for coronavirus, as well as for protective personal equipment and the funds that is required to be able to trace and to fight this corona pandemic.
Thank you, Mr. Olszewski. Mr. Fox, your response.
Well, I'm already doing that, working with our friends in Washington, D.C. It started with getting relief for our small businesses in Montana who have gambling income, who couldn't get SBA disaster relief. I worked directly with the White House and top officials in the SBA to get that done so they could get that relief. Meat packers, I've been working on behalf of Montana cattle producers. I have met and talked with, over the phone, Attorney General William Barr and top people in the Department of Justice. So I will continue those relationships to get things done for Montana.
Mr. Gianforte, your response.
Sure. As we come through this public health crisis, there is nothing more important than getting our small businesses back on their feet. That's why I'm proud to have helped formulate and pass the CARES Act, which has now delivered over $1.4 billion to small businesses, as well as direct payments to individuals. Now, I would put myself at the head of the fiscal conservative line, but when government shuts down the economy, we have an obligation to open it back up. I'm looking forward. I know our economy is resilient, and we'll be stronger on the other side of this. I'll continue to fight for individuals and small business here in the state.
Thank you, Mr. Gianforte. Mr. Olszewski, final thoughts on this issue?
Well, once again, taking it back to what your question was, how do we continue to develop those relationships with the federal government to help our state, especially during times of natural disaster? You know, it starts first and foremost with everyday bread and butter activities and to nurture and build those relationships. You know, as a physician, a state legislator, I have that gift of entering into relationships, sharing stories, and building upon those relationships so we can get results for Montana.
Thank you, Mr. Olszewski. Our next question will come from Missoula, and Cindy Kors will ask it of Tim Fox.
Thank you. Mr. Fox, you and your running mate announced that you would find plans to find the best way to trim state spending. Then COVID-19 hit. So tell me, if you are elected governor, how do you cut expenses and handle what could be a very massive deficit that the state is faced with?
Sure, there's some estimate that we will unfortunately have between a 10 and 16% deficit from the general fund, which is a lot of money. Fortunately, we have a rainy day fund. We have right now revenues had up until COVID had exceeded expectations. So we have roughly $400 million as somewhat of a cushion, obviously, to help us get through this. But unlike Congressman Gianforte, who earlier in his campaign was talking about 10% across the board budget cuts in the state budget, I know that we have to be thoughtful because we've done these things in the Department of Justice where you work with the legislators, you work with your staff, you find the efficiencies, you cut the fat. I have done that now for over 7 years successfully, while also bringing money in from consumer protection claims and cases that have brought over $20 million into the state budget. I'm the only one who's done it from this perspective as an executive.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Fox. Mr. Gianforte, your comments.
Yeah, once again, Mr. Fox is misrepresenting the facts to mislead you. It is shameful. I am the only one that has a plan to get this economy going again. I think that if we don't know fully what the economic situation is going to be, but I have a plan to grow revenue. I think we need new leadership at DEQ and DNRC so we can start issuing permits for projects here in the state. We should be back in our forests doing forest management. That would generate revenue and inviting young people home to bring jobs with them.
Thank you. Al Olszewski, your thoughts.
So on day one, we're going to hit the ground running. And as a state senator, I learned a lot from our last fiscal crisis in 2017. So what I will do is, number one, work as an equal partner with the legislative body. And we will then rank and prioritize all of our services within our government, just like we do with infrastructure projects. And then we're going to take our very shortened revenues and figure out what we can cover. The truth is we can't cover everything. And so I'm the one that's willing to propose that we open up the coal trust reserve and use that $1 billion to heal our state through these financial woes.
Thank you, Mr. Olszewski. Mr. Fox, final thoughts?
Sure. We need to start doing things now. We need to get the hospitality, restaurant, tourism businesses back to a point where they can thrive. That will help us in a big way. We need to make sure we're taking measures to instill confidence in the public that they can come back into the marketplace. Been working with the Bureau of Business and Economic Research at the University of Montana on these issues, and we know that eventually we're going to come out of this. But what we do in the upfront to make that happen is most important.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Taylor Tucker. She'll ask the question of Mr. Gianforte.
Mr. Gianforte, would you under any circumstances support a sales tax in Montana?
Taylor, no. The people of Montana have voted on that multiple times, and it's clear they don't want that. I also believe fundamentally you don't tax your way to prosperity. Working with President Trump, we reduced taxes, federal taxes, and we've seen the impact it had on our national economy prior to this COVID situation. I think we should be taking a page out of that national book and working through this period to reduce property taxes, income taxes and business equipment taxes, and no new taxes. I oppose a sales tax. We also then, the other lesson from the, as I've worked with President Trump, has been really the regulatory review. We need to do a top-to-bottom review. And as I travel to every single county in this state each year, I hear over and over again that our state agencies are not run well. We need new leadership. We need to peel the excessive regulations back and bring a culture of customer service back to state government to get it working with the people again.
Thank you, Mr. Gianforte. Mr. Olszewski, your thoughts on this issue?
No, no, and no. The truth is that Montanans are overtaxed as it stands. If we're going to reduce property tax, which is my number one priority, we're going to have to find ways to find other revenue, and it's not sales tax. I'm a believer that we are the treasure state, and we need to work to maximize and open up our natural resources industry. That's timber out here in the West using President Trump's Good Neighbor Authority. That's continuing to export coal, the safest form of energy to be transported across this world and is going to be used for the next century in the Pacific Rim. And yes,
thank you, Mr. Olszewski. Thank you very much for your response. Mr. Fox, your thoughts?
So I don't support a sales tax. In fact, I led a coalition of four state attorneys general to try to oppose the internet sales tax that was being proposed in the Congress. I also led the effort to fight against the internet sales tax when South Dakota filed an appeal to the United States Supreme Court. The unfortunate thing there is that South Dakota won that case. We are one of four states that doesn't have a sales tax. As governor, I will help to keep that a fact, but we do need tax reform and figure out a way forward.
Thank you. Mr. Gianforte, you have the final thoughts on this issue.
Yeah, and I want to touch on one other thing. I've mentioned bringing kids back home. Let me tell you how we're going to do that. I worked with the former mayor of Shelby at a high school reunion. We invited 1,500 people that had returned home for a reunion in August to come home and bring their jobs with them. This might be one of the silver linings in this COVID situation. We found out we don't have to go to work. We can work remotely. Well, I saw him recently, and now 15 families have moved back to Shelby, brought spouses, kids with them. They bought homes or built homes, enrolled their kids locally. It brought vitality. We can do that statewide.
Thank you, Mr. Gianforte, for your comments. Let's go to the next question. Cindy Kors will ask the next question of Al Olszewski.
In about 3 weeks, I'm going to write a property tax check that represents about 35% of what a small business makes. You touched on that you want to roll back property taxes, but I'd like to understand further how you will make it more equitable and spread it across more people than simply property owners.
Okay, well, so how do we spread it across? Well, first we have to find a way to freeze and then lower those property taxes. And what my proposal is that first what we do is we take and we disconnect public education, K through 12, off of our property taxes, and we find another way to pay for them. And like Wyoming, I would like to pay for public education through our natural resources, royalties, taxes, and revenues. Once we've done that, now we can see our property taxes drop not by two-thirds, because it's 70% of our property taxes is K through 12 education, but hopefully by 20 or 30%. And then that gives a margin for our counties to be able to pay for potholes in their roads, to pay for the water systems, and yes, to pay for the salaries of our firefighters and our law enforcement. And then we're going to work to try to do that with our landowners and our landlords to find a way to bring down the prices of their rent.
Thank you, Mr. Olszewski. Mr. Fox, your thoughts on this issue?
Sure. We all know that the best way forward to get tax relief or at least more revenues is not to raise taxes, but of course to jumpstart businesses and provide opportunities for Montanans to be successful. I've done that as Attorney General by fighting for Montana's rights, whether it be suing the state of Washington in the United States Supreme Court when they decided to stop a coal port expansion, or when I intervened into the Keystone XL pipeline case. To make sure that the Keystone XL will finally be built. It'll bring
Thank you, Mr. Fox.
Tens of millions of dollars of tax revenues.
Thank you, Mr. Fox. Mr. Gianforte, your comments.
Yeah, thank you, Cindy. This is top of mind, particularly with beef prices where they are right now, the collapse. This is why I've been so aggressive in pursuing Attorney General's Barr investigation of the beef prices, as well as getting labeling so that people can pay a premium for Montana beef. But to answer your question, what we really need to do two things is hold the line on new state spending and grow new revenue lines without raising taxes. That's natural resources, it's tourism, it's manufacturing, and it's high tech. We can do both those things and reduce property taxes.
Final comments on this issue from Al Olszewski.
Certainly. Now, once again, if we can lower those property taxes on our business owners, then what I'm hoping is they can actually increase their salaries and their benefits to their employees, and they can lower the cost of their products. So they're very competitive now with the internet economy, because we need to make sure that our bricks and mortar stores and our businesses and our services are able to survive here. Drop property taxes, and then hopefully what we can see is our employers will pass it on through salaries and lower prices.
Thank you, Mr. Olszewski. Our next question comes from Helena and Mike Dennison. He'll ask the question of Mr. Tim Fox.
Mr. Fox, the three of you have all alluded to this issue during this debate so far. As governor, I'm wondering if you would be proposing or supporting any additional restrictions on abortion in Montana, and if so, what?
Well, as governor, I will obviously look at anything that comes before us. One of the good examples was in Louisiana, they passed a law that requires abortionists to have hospital privileges within a certain number of miles, because if a woman begins to hemorrhage in the middle of an abortion, her life is at stake. And so I filed an amicus brief in the United States Supreme Court supporting that law, because it makes sense. Every other procedure of that kind with men or women requires hospital admittance privileges. So we just argued that case earlier this year. I was in Washington, D.C. for that event with all of the pro-life groups that you can imagine at a press release or a press conference where I was asked to be a part of. So that's one law that, you know, if we don't have something like that, we perhaps should. We want to make sure that we protect the lives of the unborn, and that is a first goal of mine as governor.
Thank you, Mr. Fox. Mr. Gianforte, your thoughts.
Sure. This is something the three of us agree on. We are pro-life, and I am solidly pro-life, and I'm proud that I've been endorsed by the Susan B. Anthony list at a national level in this race. Our Constitution guarantees life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But without life, liberty and the pursuit of happiness are not possible. Life is precious, and it needs to be protected from conception through natural death. As your next governor, I will stand on that platform.
Mr. Olszewski, your comments.
You know, as a physician, a father, and a state legislator, I would sign every bill that I have carried personally through the last three legislative sessions. I would also, again, support a personhood amendment that points out that life begins at conception.
The final thoughts on this issue, Mr. Tim Fox.
Yes, there is no doubt that all three of the Republican candidates are pro-life. And interestingly, as Congressman Gianforte says, that he's been endorsed by the Susan B. Anthony list. Phil Drake, a reporter with the Great Falls Tribune, dug into that and saw that Susan and Greg Gianforte had been given nearly $250,000 to Susan B. Anthony. Charlie Kirk has endorsed the congressman. He also is a beneficiary of the Gianforte's money. I don't buy endorsements.
The next question will come from Cindy Kors to Mr. Greg Gianforte.
Mr. Gianforte, if you're elected governor, what would your priorities be, and how would you make sure the $1.25 billion from the CARES Act is spent appropriately and tracked appropriately?
Yeah, so that's the question, because so many people are hurting right now. We have nearly 100,000 people who file for unemployment. Main Street businesses are closed. As I've mentioned, the commodities markets are nowhere near where they need to be for people to prosper. So we have a plan. The number one thing is going to be to get our economy going again. We need to get Main Street open up. We need to do a top-to-bottom regulatory review. As we've discussed, we need to lower taxes, income taxes, property taxes, business equipment taxes, and we need to grow new lines of revenue. The DEQ and ENRC have become the project prevention departments. One of my first actions
would be to replace the leadership. Our way of life is so important as well. We need new leadership at FWP because they've been at war with sportsmen and landowners, driving a wedge between them. I think we can do much better bringing accountability to state government and getting these agencies working for the people again.
Thank you, Mr. Gianforte. Mr. Olszewski, your thoughts?
You know, going back to the question of how we're going to be able to use that $1.2 billion, you know, my plan is to continue to work on the task force that Governor Bullock has created. We shouldn't throw away that work, but we should build upon it and make it better. Also, how do we hold ourselves accountable? We have a constitutional right in our state, the right to know, to a transparent government, our government. And so my job is to make sure that you as a media and the people of Montana will be able to watch this process in a transparent way.
Thank you. Mr. Fox, your comments on this issue?
Sure. I've been working with legislators and other leaders to come up with ways in which to spend the $1.25 billion in CARES Act money. It's important to note that it not only has to be committed, but it has to be spent by the end of the year, and only for COVID-19 related expenses. I think we need to make sure we spend upfront the kind of money to get people back into the marketplace and comfortable and knowing that they're safe, but we have to be careful that we don't have a resurgence of the virus. We need to use that money for stabilization of our businesses and help these businesses apply for SBA aid.
Thank you, Mr. Fox. Mr. Gianforte, final comments on this issue.
Yes, I was proud to vote for the CARES Act to authorize this $1.2 billion for the state. I just signed a letter 2 days ago to Nancy Pelosi and Kevin McCarthy, along with a number of my colleagues, asking for increased flexibility. As I've talked to county commissioners, there are massive shortfalls in revenue. They also have hard costs. My priorities would be to make sure this money gets to where it's really needed. And that's not just in Helena, that's outside of Helena, particularly in our local municipalities.
Thank you, Mr. Gianforte. Our next question will come from Mike Dennison. It'll be directed to Al Olszewski.
Mr. Olszewski, we've talked a little bit about methamphetamine use and abuse in the state. Do you believe that this is a crisis in Montana that needs to be addressed? And if so, how would you do it as governor?
Yeah, the methamphetamine epidemic is a crisis, and it's one that we all say that it's a crisis, but then what we've watched is it seems to fall out of the priority list. So as your next governor, I see that we need to have a carrot and a stick proposition. Number one is the first one is the carrot. It's for those people that are addicted, and what we need to do is invite them to actually get true substance abuse treatment. And do so, at the expense of our government and through our programs through the Department of Public Health and Human Services. Right now, Medicaid expansion says that it's doing it, but it pays for treatment for only 21 days. And it fails universally because it's not long enough. So we want to make sure that we treat those people. Number two, the stick is that we're going to put a bounty on all traffickers in drugs and on human trafficking. And we're going to put those signs at the end of or at our borders and say, you're not welcome here. And let's try to get the drug culture to rat out on their own.
Thank you, Mr. Olszewski. Let's go to Mr. Fox for his thoughts on this issue.
Sure. I've been working on this issue for years, and we know that the biggest part of our substance use abuse problem in Montana is, in fact, methamphetamine. And it's methamphetamine that's coming in high purity and quantities from the southern border of Mexico. That's why we need to secure that southern border, among other reasons, is to stop the flow of methamphetamine. Just recently, a Montana Highway Patrol trooper seized 79 pounds of methamphetamine. That's how big the problem is. But we can't abandon our congressional seats if we're going to get the secured border with President Trump.
Thank you, Mr. Fox.
See where they're at.
Mr. Gianforte, your thoughts?
Yeah, so we do have a drug epidemic. This is one of the top issues that I'll address as your next governor. I think, and I've heard it in every community, law enforcement says these drugs are responsible for 90% of our crime. We have 4,000 kids in foster care. Families are falling apart. We need to move from incarceration to rehabilitation. I think drug courts is one way to do that. They've been very successful in helping people recover and get back on their feet and be productive members of society. My wife and I have personally funded these drug courts. I would do more as your next governor.
Thank you, Mr. Gianforte. Final thoughts, Mr. Olszewski.
Well, once again, the methamphetamine crisis is not a victimless crime. And what I've learned talking to especially women in our prison release centers is that they never started out in drugs, but in high school. But as their friends went off to college in the military, the drug culture was very trusting, very easy. It gave them a place to live, gave them a meal, and it groomed them to sell themselves or to sell drugs for easy money. You know, we've got to break that culture of trust, and that's why I think a bounty will do that. And that's how we can keep the drugs out of our state.
Final question will be from Taylor Tucker to Tim Fox.
Mr. Fox, why are you the best Republican candidate to go against a Democrat?
Well, first and foremost, I'm one of you, and I'm with you, and I'm speaking to the audience, of course, and I'm not above you, and I don't think I'm better than you. Let me tell you about a man in a parking lot in Bozeman. I went to Bozeman on business. I stopped at the motor vehicle driver examiner station, and all of the customers were out in their cars waiting to be called to come in because of the COVID-19. So I went to each of them and social distance and said, thank you. Told him who I was. And one of them said, can you help me? I can't get a hold of anybody for food stamps. And I'm out of work and my family is suffering. I gave him my email and we got that fixed for him. I'm a unifier. I bring people together. And we need that in a post-COVID-19 circumstance. I have a record of success and a problem solver. I'm an innovator. And John Kanoke, my lieutenant governor candidate, is a rock star, a former global strategist for John Deere Corporation. Montana United, we're the only ones with a plan. You said
thank you, Mr. Fox. Thank you very much. Mr. Gianforte, your comments.
Well, I've demonstrated my work in Washington delivering results for Montana, whether it's the National Suicide Hotline, advancing legislation on telemedicine. But here's one the way I did it. My wife and I rented a little apartment. I filled the freezer up with Montana beef and game meat, and I have members of Congress over, and I cook for them every week. And you know, when you sit down with folks, you can find the things you agree on. You don't have to focus on the things you disagree. I think we need that sort of bipartisanship in Helena to get stuff done.
Thank you, Mr. Gianforte. Mr. Olszewski.
As the Republican candidate for governor going into the general election, what I have is the ability as a state legislator and as a physician to go up against the arguments of the Democratic Party that says that we have to double down and expand Medicaid and universal health care in order to provide access to everybody for health care. That is going to be a divisive issue, and I can win that issue as a physician and as a Republican legislator.
Thank you. And the final thoughts on this issue, Mr. Tim Fox.
So as I was mentioning, John Kanoke and I are the only Republicans and indeed the only candidates for governor that have a plan with Montana United, a vision for the future. I asked your listeners to go to our website at foxforgovernor.com and learn more. Certainly, Montanans need somebody they can relate to. We need to have someone who's not polarizing, who can bring folks together. And I believe that I'm the person who can win in November. We just should.
Thank you, Mr. Fox. We are now done with our questioning, and it's time for our candidates to tell Montanans why they are the person that should be the representative of the Republican Party for governor. We start with the closing statements with Mr. Gianforte.
Thank you. Well, I'm the only one in this race with business leadership experience that's actually created good paying jobs in Montana. Folks, we're in unprecedented times. Many of you have lost your jobs. Our Main Street businesses are closed and ranchers can't get a fair price for beef. We need experience to get our economy working again. But even before this crisis, wages in Montana were amongst the lowest in the country. And many have had to leave our great state to find better opportunities. Folks, Montana has not been living up to our outstanding potential. And it's time for that to change. It's time for conservative leadership and executive experience in the governor's office. We've seen what Montana and Montanans can achieve when we combine our work ethic with the right leadership. We need a governor with business leadership experience, someone who's created good paying jobs here in Montana, someone who can lead us through this crisis and our recovery. Our focus shouldn't be on petty politics. Our focus should be on solving the problems we face, getting our economy going again, and getting folks back to work in good-paying jobs. That's what I'll roll up my sleeves and get done as your next governor. I'll use every tool in the box. including my relationship with President Trump and his team. Folks, I've spent my life creating jobs, solving problems, and serving others. That's what I know how to do. If you believe in my vision, then I ask you to come join me. Let's work together to solve the problems we face and build a better future for all Montanans. Thanks for tuning in. Please say a prayer for our country. And God bless America and God bless Montana.
Mr. Olszewski, your closing statement.
It's true. You know, we're living through uncertain times, and Montana needs a leader that's going to guide our state and our people through this coronavirus pandemic. Our state is going to be looking at a fiscal crisis going into 2021 that is going to be greater than what we've seen during the Great Depression, and the issues on healthcare, the crisis is greater than the Spanish flu. So I have the unique experiences and the training as a physician, as a successful small businessman, that can balance the issues of the health of our people and the health of our economy. As a former military officer and a state legislator, I understand what it's going to take to run through our legislature and push hard to get action and produce results quickly, and then to make the decisions that are going to be hard. This is not the position that we as a Republican Party should not take this lightly, because our fortunes and our lives may depend upon it. But before we get to the general election, we have to get through the Republican primary. And if we look at the three candidates here, I am the only one that supports the Republican platform 100%. As you've heard tonight, I'm the only one that's going to fight for our constitutional water rights and oppose the CSKT compact, which our Republican platform says that we Republicans oppose. I'm also the only Republican that is willing to oppose and repeal Medicaid expansion. And again, that is one of the major foundations of our Republican platform.
Thank you, Mr. Olszewski. Mr. Tim Fox, the final thoughts.
Well, thanks again to the Montana Broadcasters Association for hosting this debate. And thanks also to the viewers and listeners for tuning in. And thank you, Al, for once again showing up. Congressman, it's clear that you were social distancing long before the pandemic hit. You ducked debates and forums, refused interviews with the press, avoided open public meetings and tough questions, and instead used your considerable wealth to try to buy this election instead of earning those votes. You have used your surrogates to attack me, and you've even called one of my supporters and told him that he shouldn't support me because I have cancer and might get sick while in the governor's office. That's appalling, and it's definitely not Montana. Yet all the while, and you've done it tonight, you've claimed to be above it all, adhering to Reagan's 11th commandment, thou shalt not speak ill of other Republicans. Montanans know better, Congressman. Tonight, many Montanans are apprehensive about the future. Many are sick, out of work, or their businesses are on the brink of collapse. For those of you that are worrying, please know that I am one of you, and that I am with you, and that I will never consider myself to be above you or better than you. Leaders who will listen, we need them. Be thoughtful, steady, not volatile and polarizing. That's what I've done as your Attorney General, and that's what I will do as your governor. Now, we will get through this together, and we will be better because we are a Montana United. John Kanoke and I and our families ask that you pray for the healing of our land and our people, and we ask for your vote and your support.
Thank you, Mr. Fox. And thank you all for joining us. The Montana Broadcasters Association, representing the free over-the-air broadcasters, and the Greater Montana Foundation are proud to have provided this service to you.